Chapter 26. During the 142 days that Father Captain de Soya waits for the girl to enter Renaissance System, he dreams about her every night. He sees her clearly, as she was when first encountered at the Sphinx on Hyperion, willow-thin, eyes alert but not terrified, despite the sandstorm and threatening figures before her, her small hands partially raised, as if ready to cover her face or rush forward to hug him. Often in his dreams, she is his daughter, and they are walking the crowded canal streets of Renaissance Vector, discussing de Soya's older sister, Maria, who has been sent to the St. Jude Medical Center in Da Vinci. In his dreams, de Soya and the child walk hand in hand through the familiar canal streets near the huge medical complex, while he explains to her how he plans to save his sister's life this time, how he will not allow Maria to die the way she had the first time. In reality, Federico de Soya had been 6 standard years old when he and his family came to Renaissance Vector from their isolated region of Llano Estacado on their provincial world of Madre de Dios. Almost everyone on the sparsely populated stone and desert world was Catholic, but not Pax born-again Catholic. The de Soya family had been part of the breakaway Mariaist movement and had left Nuevo Madrid more than a century earlier when that world had voted to join the Pax and have all of its Christian churches submit to the Vatican. The Mariaists venerated the Holy Mother of Christ more than the Vatican Orthodoxy allowed, so young Federico had grown up on a marginal desert world with its devout colony of 60,000 heretical Catholics who, as a form of protest, refused to accept the cruciform. The 12-year-old Maria had become sick with an off-world retrovirus that swept like a scythe through the colony ranching region. Most sufferers of the Red Death either died within 32 hours or recovered, but Maria had lingered, her once beautiful features all but obscured by the terrible crimson stigmata. The family had taken her to the hospital in Ciudad del Madre, on the wind-swept southern reach of Llano Estacado, but Mariaist medics there could do nothing but pray. There was a new Pax born-again Christian mission in Ciudad del Madre, discriminated against but tolerated by the locals, and the priest there, a kindly man named Father Mar, begged Federico's father to allow their dying child to accept the cruciform. Federico was too young to remember the details of his parents' agonized discussions, but he did remember the entire family, his mother and father, his other 2 sisters and younger brother, all on their knees in the Mariaist church there, begging for the Holy Mother's guidance and intercession. It was the other ranches of the Llano Estacado Mariaist Cooperative who raised the money to send the entire family off-world to one of the famous medical centers on Renaissance Vector. While his brother and other sisters were left behind with a neighboring ranch family, for some reason 6-year-old Federico was chosen to accompany his parents and dying sister on the long voyage. It was everyone's first experience with actual cold sleep, more dangerous but cheaper than cryogenic fugue. And de Soya later remembered the chill in his bones that seemed to last through their weeks on Renaissance Vector. At first, the Pax medics in Da Vinci seemed to arrest the spread of the Red Death through Maria's system, even banishing some of the bleeding stigmata. But after 3 local weeks, the retrovirus again gained the upper hand. Once again, a Pax priest, in this case several who were on the staff of the hospital, beseeched de Soya's parents to bend their Mariaist principles and allow the dying child to accept the cruciform before it was too late. Later, as he entered adulthood, de Soya could better imagine the agonies of his parents' decision, the death of one's deepest beliefs or the death of one's child. In his dream, where Enea is his daughter and they are walking the canal streets near the medical center, he describes to her how Maria had given him her most prized possession, a tiny porcelain sculpture of a unicorn, just hours before she had slipped into a coma. In his dream, he walks with the 12-year-old Hyperion girl's small hand in his and tells her how his father, a strong man in both body and belief, and finally surrendered and asked for the Pax priests to administer the sacrament of the cross to his daughter. The priests at the hospital agreed, but insisted that DeSoya's parents and Federico formally convert to universal Catholicism before Maria could receive her cruciform. DeSoya explains to his daughter, Ania, how he remembers the brief re-baptism ceremony at the local cathedral, St. John the Divine, where he and his parents renounced the ascendancy of the Holy Mother and accepted the sole dominion of Jesus Christ, as well as the power of the Vatican over their religious lives. He remembers receiving both First Communion and the cruciform that same evening. Maria's sacrament of the cross was scheduled for 10 p.m. She died suddenly at 8:45 p.m. By the rules of the Church and the laws of the Pax, someone who suffered brain death before receiving the cross could not be revived artificially to receive it. Instead of being furious or feeling betrayed by his new church, Federico's father took the tragedy as a sign that God, not the God he had grown up praying to, the gentle son infused with the universal female principles of the Holy Mother, but the fiercer New and Old Testament God of the universal church, had punished him, his family, and the entire Mariaist world of Llano Estacado. Upon the return to their home world with their child's body dressed in white for burial, the elder DeSoya had become an unrelenting apostle for the Pax version of Catholicism. It came at a fertile time, as the ranching communities were being swept with the Red Death. Federico was sent to the Pax school in Ciudad del Madre at age 7, and his sisters were sent away to the convent in northern Llano. Within his father's lifetime, indeed, before Federico was sent to New Madrid with Father Mar to attend St. Thomas's seminary there, the surviving Mariaists on Madre de Dios had all converted to Pax Catholicism. Maria's terrible death had led to a world being born again. In his dreams, Father Captain DeSoya explains little of this to the child walking with him through the nightmare-familiar streets of Da Vinci on Renaissance Vector. The girl, Ania, seems to know all this. In his dreams, repeated almost every night for 142 nights before the girl's ship arrives, DeSoya is explaining to the child how he has discovered the secret to curing the Red Death and saving his sister. The first morning that DeSoya awakens, heart pounding and sheets soaked with sweat, he assumes that the secret to Maria's rescue is the cruciform. But the next night's dream proves him wrong. The secret, it seems, is the return of Maria's unicorn figure. All he has to do, he explains to his daughter, Ania, is find the hospital through this maze of streets, and he knows that the return of the unicorn will save his sister. But he cannot find the hospital. The maze defeats him. Almost 5 months later, on the eve of the arrival of the ship from Parvati's system, in a variation on the same dream, DeSoya does find the St. Jude Medical Center, where his sister is sleeping, but he realizes with growing horror that he has now lost the figurine. In this dream, Aeneas speaks for the first time, drawing the small porcelain statuette from the pocket of her blouse. The child says, "You see? We've had it with us the entire time." The reality of DeSoya's months in Renaissance system is literally and figuratively light years away from the Parvati experience. Unknown to DeSoya, Gregorius, Key, and Redig, each a mangled corpse in the heart of Raphael's resurrection creches, the ship is challenged within an hour of translating in system. Two Pax Ram scouts and a torch ship come alongside after exchanging transponder codes and data with Raphael's computer. It is decided to transfer the four bodies to a Pax Resurrection Center on Renaissance V. Unlike their solitary awakening in Parvati system, DeSoya and his Swiss Guard troopers return to consciousness with the proper ceremony and care. Indeed, the resurrection is a difficult one for the Father Captain and Corporal Key, and the two are returned to their creche for an additional 3 days. Later, DeSoya can only speculate whether the ship's automated resurrection facilities would have been up to the task. As it is, the four are reunited after a week in system, each man with his own chaplain counselor. Sergeant Gregorius finds this unnecessary. He is eager and impatient to return to duty, but DeSoya and the other two welcome their extra days of rest and recuperation from death. The Saint Anthony translates only hours after Raphael, and eventually DeSoya is reunited with Captain Sati of the Torch Ship and Captain Lempriere of the troop ship St. Thomas Akira, which is returned to the Pax base in Renaissance System with more than 1,800 dead in cold storage and 2,300 wounded men and women from the carnage in Hyperion System. The hospitals and cathedrals on Renaissance V and in orbital Pax bases begin the surgeries and resurrections at once. DeSoya is present at her bedside when Commander Barnes Avni regains life and consciousness. The small, red-haired woman seems another person, diminished to the point that it makes DeSoya's heart ache with pity. With her head shaved, her skin red and slick with rebirth, and dressed only in a hospital gown. But her aggressiveness and demeanor have not been diminished. Almost at once she demands, "What the hell happened?" DeSoya tells her about the Shrike carnage. He fills her in on the 7 months he has spent chasing the girl during the 4 months Barnes Avni has spent in cold storage and transit from Hyperion. "You've really screwed the pooch, haven't you?" says the commander. DeSoya smiles. So far, the ground force commander is the only one to speak honestly to him. He is all too aware that he has had metaphorical carnal relations with the proverbial pooch. Twice he has been in charge of a major Pax operation with a single objective, take a child into custody, and twice he has failed miserably. DeSoya expects, at the very least, to be relieved of duty, more likely to be court-martialed. To that end, when an Archangel courier arrives in system 2 months before the girl's arrival, DeSoya orders the couriers to return at once to Pacham to report his failure and to return with instructions from Pax Command. In the meantime, Father Captain DeSoya concludes his courier message. He will continue arranging the details of preparation for the girl's capture in Renaissance System until he is relieved. The resources available to him this time are impressive. Besides more than 200,000 ground troops, including several thousand elite Pax Marines and the surviving Swiss Guard brigades from Hyperion, DeSoya finds extensive sea and space naval forces. Present in Renaissance System and subject to his papal Disky command are 27 torch ships, 8 of them Omega class, as well as 108 nesting ram scouts to probe ahead of the torch ships, 6 C-cubed fleet command and control ships with their escort cloud of 36 fast attack ALRs, the attack carrier Saint Malo with more than 200 space air Scorpion fighters and 7,000 crew aboard, the antiquated cruiser Pride of Brescia, now renamed the Jacob, 2 additional troop transports in addition to the St. Thomas Akira, an even score of Benediction-class destroyers, 58 perimeter defense pickets, any 3 of which would be capable of defending an entire world or a mobile task force from attack, and more than 100 lesser ships, including in-system frigates that carried a lethal punch for close-in fighting, minesweepers, in-system couriers, drones, and the Raphael. 3 days after he has dispatched the second Archangel courier to Pacham, and 7 weeks before Aenea's arrival, the Magi task force arrives, the Melchior, the Gaspar, and Father Captain DeSoya's old ship, the Balthazar. At first, DeSoya is excited to see his old companions, but then he realizes that they will be present during his humiliation. Nonetheless, he goes out in Raphael to greet them while they are still 6 AUs from Renaissance V, and the first thing Mother Captain Stone does upon his stepping into the Balthazar is to hand him his duffel of personal possessions that he had been forced to leave behind. On top of his neatly folded clothes, carefully wrapped in foam, is his sister Maria's gift of the porcelain unicorn. DeSoya is honest with Captain Hearn, Mother Captain Boulez, and Mother Commander Stone. He outlines the preparations he has made, but tells them that a new commander will almost certainly be arriving before the girl's ship arrives. 2 days later, he is proved a liar. The Archangel-class courier translates in-system with two aboard, Captain Margaret Wu, aide to Fleet Admiral Marusin, and the Jesuit Father Brown, special advisor to Monsignor Lucas Odi, Undersecretary of Vatican State and confidant of Secretary of State Simon Augustino, Cardinal Lord Dusami. Captain Wu's sealed orders for DeSoya come with instructions to be opened even before her resurrection. He opens them immediately. The instructions are simple. He is to continue on his mission to capture the child. He will never be relieved of this duty, and Captain Wu, Father Brown, and any other dignitaries to arrive in system are there only to observe and to underline, if any underlining is necessary, Father Captain DeSoya's total authority over all PAX officials in the pursuit of this goal. This authority has been grudgingly accepted in the past weeks and months. There are 3 PAX fleet admirals and 11 PAX ground force commanders in Renaissance system, and none are used to taking orders from a mere father captain. But the papal diskey has been heard and obeyed. Now, in the final weeks, DeSoya reviews his plans and meets with commanders and civilian leaders of all levels, down to the mayors of Da Vinci and Benedetto, Toscanelli and Fioravante, Botticelli and Masaccio. In the final weeks, with all plans made and forces assigned, Father Captain DeSoya actually finds time for personal reflection and activities. Alone now, away from the controlled chaos of staff meetings and tactical simulations, away even from Gregorius, Key, and Rettig, who accepted assignments as his personal bodyguards, DeSoya walks the streets of Da Vinci, visits the St. Jude Medical Center, and remembers his sister Maria. Somehow, he discovers, the nightly dreams are more compelling than seeing the real places. DeSoya has discovered that his old patron, Father Marr, has been serving for many years as rector in the Ascension Benedictine Monastery in the city region of Florence on the opposite side of Renaissance V from Da Vinci, and he flies there to spend a long afternoon talking to the old man. Father Marr, now in his late 80s and looking forward to my first new life in Christ, is as optimistic, patient, and kind as DeSoya remembers from almost 3 decades ago. Marr, it seems, has returned to Madre de Dios more recently than DeSoya.
"The Llano Estacado has been abandoned," says the old priest. "The ranches are empty now. Ciudad del Madre has a few dozen inhabitants, but only PAX researchers, seeing if the world is truly worth terraforming."
"Yes," says DeSoya. "My family emigrated back to Nuevo Madrid more than 20 standard years ago. My sisters serve the church. Loretta as a nun on Nevermore, Melinda as a priest on Nuevo Madrid."
"And your brother Esteban?"
asks Father Marr with a warm smile. DeSoya takes a breath. "Killed by the Alsters in a space battle last year," he says. "His ship was vaporized. No bodies were recovered." Father Marr blinks as if he has been slapped.
"I had not heard."
"No," says DeSoya. "You wouldn't have. It was far away, beyond the old outback. Word has not officially reached even my family yet. I know only because my duties took me to the vicinity, and I met a returning captain who told me the news." Father Marr shakes his bald and mottled head.
"Esteban has found the only resurrection which our Lord promised," he says softly, tears in his eyes. "Eternal resurrection in our Savior Jesus Christ."
"Yes," says DeSoya. A moment later, he says, "Do you still drink scotch, Father Marr?" The old man's roomy eyes lift to meet the other's gaze.
"Yes, but only for medicinal purposes, Father Captain DeSoya."
DeSoya's dark brows rise a bit. "I am still recovering from my last resurrection, Father Marr." The older priest nods seriously.
"And I am preparing for my first one, Father Captain DeSoya. I shall find the dusty bottle."
On the following Sunday, De Soya celebrates Mass at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, where he had accepted the cross so long ago. More than 800 of the faithful are in attendance, including Father Marr and Father Brown, the intelligent and insightful aide to Monsignor Odie. Sergeant Gregorius, Corporal Key, and Lancer Reddick also attend, taking communion from De Soya's hand. That night, De Soya again dreams of Aeneia. "How is it that you are my daughter?" he asks this night. "I have always honored my vows of celibacy." The child smiles and takes his hand. 100 hours before the girl's ship is to translate, De Soya orders his fleet into position. The translation point is perilously close to the gravity well of Renaissance Vector, and many of the experts are concerned that the old ship will break up, either under the gravity torque of such an unadvisable close exit from C+, or from the horrendous deceleration needed if the ship is to land on the planet. Their concerns remain largely unspoken, as is their frustration at being kept in Renaissance system. Many of the fleet units had assignments along the frontier or deep in Ouster space. This waste of time has most of the officers on edge. It is largely because of this undercurrent of tension that Father Captain De Soya calls a meeting of all line officers 10 hours before the translation. Such conferences are usually handled over tight beam link-ups, but De Soya has the men and women physically transfer to the carrier, St. Malo. The huge ship's main briefing room is large enough to handle the scores of attending officers. De Soya begins by reviewing the scenarios they have practiced for weeks or months now. If the child once again threatens self-destruction, 3 torchships, De Soya's old Magi task force, will close rapidly, wrap Class 10 fields around the ship, stun whoever is aboard into unconsciousness, and hold the ship in stasis until the Jacob can take it in tow with its massive field generators. If the ship tries to leave the system the way it ran from Parvati, ram scouts and fast attack fighters will harass it while the torchships maneuver to disable it. De Soya pauses in the briefing. Questions? Among the familiar faces he can see in the row upon row of briefing chairs are Captain Lempriere, Satie, Wu, and Hearn, Father Brown, Mother Captain Boulez, Mother Commander Stone, and Commander Barnes Avney. Sergeant Gregorius, Key, and Reddick stand at parade rest near the back of the briefing room, allowed in this august company only because of their status as personal bodyguards. Captain Margaret Wu says, "And if the ship attempts to land on Renaissance Vector, Renaissance Minor, or one of the moons?" De Soya steps away from the low podium. "As we discussed at our last meeting, should the ship attempt to land, we will make the judgment at the time."
"Based on what factors, Father Captain?"
asks Fleet Admiral Sarah from the C-cubed ship St. Thomas Aquinas. De Soya hesitates only a second.
"Several factors, Admiral. Where the ship is headed, whether it would be safer for the girl to allow it to land or to attempt to disable it en route, whether there is any chance for the ship to escape."
"Is there any chance?" asks Commander Barnes Avney. The woman is hale and formidable again in her space-black uniform. "I will not say that there is no chance," says Father Captain De Soya. "Not after Hyperion, but we will minimize any chance."
"If the shrike creature appears," begins Captain Lempriere.
"We have rehearsed the scenario," says De Soya, "and I see no reason to vary from our plans. This time we will rely upon computerized fire control to a greater extent. On Hyperion, the creature remained in one spot for less than 2 seconds. This was too fast for human reactions and confused the programming in automated fire control systems. We have reprogrammed those systems, including individual troopers' suit fire control systems."
"So the Marines will board the ship?"
asks a Ram Scout captain in the last row.
"Only if all else fails," says De Soya. "Or after the girl and any companions have been locked in the stasis fields and stunned into unconsciousness."
"And death wands will be used against the creature?" asks a destroyer captain.
"Yes," says De Soya, "as long as doing so does not put the child in danger. Any other questions?"
The room is silent. Father Mar from Ascension Monastery will close with the blessing, says Father Captain DeSoya. Godspeed to you all.